going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
It's the most optimistic time of the year. Who will be the next star player for your 49ers?
The San Francisco 49ers select.
It's draft night on 95.7 The Game with Evan Giddings and Sterling Bennett. Here's Mark Grandy.
Yes, it is. Happy draft night. Niners, their pick is coming up in just a little bit, and we'll have all the coverage for you right here on 95.7 The Game. My name's Mark Grandy. Joining me here on this Thursday night, on this NFL draft night in 2025, Evan Giddings and Sterling Bennett. Guys, we have 8 picks in so far. The Niners are just a couple of picks away from being on the clock. We will get to Niners needs and all of that. We'll quickly run through the first 8 picks as well. But first of all, in what has been a wild basketball week here in the Bay Area, it is nice to have a little bit of a break and talk some football. Evan Sterling, it is a pleasure to be with you. Happy NFL draft season. Not quite football season, but happy NFL draft season. Guys, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Got my haircut done, put a nice polo shirt on for you guys today, and I'm welcoming back the NFL into our lives after a pretty bad San Francisco 49ers season. Yeah. So it's good to have the king of sports back on our televisions.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. Just because of the non-action from the 49ers since the technical beginning of the new year in the NFL. Yeah. It does feel like this is really the start of their season. And obviously they got, you know, the voluntary work underway. They're getting set to make a pick here in a little bit. It feels like we're finally back into the NFL structure. And boy, do the 49ers need some at this point.
Yeah, they're going to need to hit on at least a few of these draft picks. And they have 11 as of this moment. We could see some trades. We could see them maybe getting an extra pick or two. We could see them consolidating some picks and moving up. We will see what the next few days do hold. But quickly, before we get into previewing what the Niners are going to do at pick number 11, let's quickly run through what has happened so far with the first 8 picks in the NFL draft. Tennessee, no surprise, number 1 overall. They take the best quarterback available, Cam Ward out of Miami. He is a Tennessee Titan. Then we had our first, maybe not shocker, but the first surprising move of the day, because the Cleveland Browns traded down, allowing the Jacksonville Jaguars to move from 5 up to 2. Cleveland then picked 5th, but the Jags, picking 2, picked Travis Hunter, of course, the defensive back slash wide receiver out of Colorado. Giants, not really surprising, go Abdul Carter, an edge rusher from Penn State. The New England Patriots picking fourth. They go with the first offensive lineman in this draft, Will Campbell out of LSU. Then that aforementioned Cleveland and Jacksonville trade. Cleveland, fifth overall, drafts Mason Graham, defensive lineman from Michigan. The Raiders do as the Raiders do. They pick Ashton Jeanty, first running back off the board out of Boise State. New York Jets, they get the second offensive lineman off the board, an Armand Membu, a tackle out of Mizzou. And then the most recent pick, Tet McMillan, wide receiver out of Arizona. Those are the first eight picks. New Orleans is on the clock right now. The Bears are up next. It's the 10th pick. And then the 49ers will be on the clock with pick number 11. Sterling, of the first eight potential names the Niners could have been interested in, is it essentially just the offensive lineman potentially and Mason Graham? What are we looking at here through the first eight picks in terms of what the Niners are thinking?
I think what San Francisco did this offseason, gutting their entire defensive line, yet keeping four of their five offensive line starters, give us a good indication that I think they're going defense, and if things go as it seems like they're leading towards, they may get a pick of Walter Nolan, Shamar Stewart, Jalen Walker, Micah Williams. They may get four guys they can all say deserve that number 11th overall pick, but I didn't buy into San Francisco wanting an offensive lineman knowing who they brought back this past offseason, so I think it's defense, defense, defense. You brought back Robert Saleh. You have Chris Kocurek. Let's get back at getting after the quarterback in 2025.
Yeah, I think there's clearly, the Niners in the past have not been afraid to take the best player available, and it does feel like at this point they're going to get someone that is worth their salt. But unless it was a top-tier offensive lineman, one of which that's already off the board, I don't see them going in that direction because their needs are quite clearly on the other side of the football, not just the defensive line, but cornerback position, the secondary linebacker spot. And so I think it's going to be a combination of somewhere on that side of the ball as well as how good the player is. I mean, the best player available has generally been their strategy. It's burnt them a little bit in the past, but I don't expect them to deviate.
And I remember sitting here with you guys last year, just a year ago, when we were deciding what the Niners were going to do at pick, 31 last year?
Yeah, we all had them taking a wide receiver.
And none of us had them taking a wide receiver, and definitely not Ricky Pearsall. And I remember the conversation immediately after was, wow, what a reach. You could have gotten him in the second round, or there's other wide receivers that you might think would be better pros and all of that. But the reality is the 49ers guys don't really care about what anybody outside of the building thinks is a reach or not. They go off of their own personal draft board, as you should, and they have tended to have different evaluations than maybe what the general consensus is. So I'm going to be hesitant to call anything a reach because it's just what the Niners are doing. But there is something to be considered in terms of where you can get a player and whether you use the correct value of a valuable 11th overall pick. We shall see. By the way, the latest pick is in. The New Orleans Saints picking 9th overall. They take the third offensive lineman, Kelvin Banks, an offensive tackle from Texas. He is pick number 9 overall, which means only thing standing between the Niners and being on the clock are the Chicago Bears at pick number 10. Kelvin Banks goes to the New Orleans Saints, offensive tackle from Texas. But, I mean, Sterling, this is a Niners team that does tend to have different evaluations maybe than so many of us. So we might see a name that maybe we haven't seen mocked in a lot of top 10, top 12, top 15 areas because the Niners just tend to, you know what? Doesn't matter where we expect them to go, we are going to get our guy, no questions asked.
And in this draft in particular, a lot of these players are their values based on schematic fit, what they ran in college, their production, what are their traits. So honestly, it doesn't matter who San Francisco picks at 11. You're always going to have they should have picked that guy instead. It's simply because whether the production's better in college. But San Francisco, again, what they're going to do at 11, you're going to sit back in maybe 4 or 5 years, it'll change your mind. But at pick 11, it looks like they're going to have 3 or 4 defensive players that I think almost have been the consensus towards them during the draft process. So if they go crazy and go wild and go cornerback, for all I know, then you'll have some angry fans on the phone line soon. But we're hoping they go defensive line for everybody's sake throughout the station.
Yeah, the difference obviously between last year and this year, yes, there were a lot of talented names still left on the board, but right now there's literally one defensive lineman off the board. So they kind of they're able to make, I think, whatever pick they want if they're able to identify one of their three starting needs up front, essentially, based on the people they lost last year, and go out and get a dude. You know, I think the biggest question they have to answer right now is, do they prefer an edge rusher or someone on the interior? And I think with the 49ers, the way that they've been able to sort of build themselves in the past, it has been from the inside out. And if Robert Saleh can get his hands over on someone that is as talented as ideally the number 11 pick should be, then I think the Niners are in, you know, kind of a nice little interior, I wouldn't say like rebuilding, but retooling position, which is what the goal of this draft is with 11 picks anyway.
Yeah, I think very, very likely you guys are on the right page that is going to be either defensive tackle or edge rusher, one of those two to throw on the defensive line. Maybe at this point, because you're right, Evan, there's only been one defensive lineman that has been picked so far. You got Abdul Carter, the edge, but you got Mason Graham in the middle of a defense.
Bears pick is interesting, though, because it is Ben Johnson's first.
Yeah, we'll see where they go. They did, of course, a ton for their offense in the draft last year. We'll see where they go this year. But the Niners do kind of have the ability to just say, all right, best player available, whether it is an edge rusher, a pass rusher, or it is just an interior defensive lineman, best player available at those positions, and go from there. One thing that we can just about officially put to bed, and we can because the pick is in for the Bears, we don't quite know it just yet, has not been officially announced. The Niners will not be trading up, right? That the Bears are going to make this pick at number 10. Then it's the Niners at number 11. But Sterling, there is still a possibility they could trade back, right? Because the way that this draft works, you've got a handful of, like, quote-unquote elite prospects. But I think the general consensus is anywhere from maybe, like, 8 or 9 through, like, 35, you kind of have the similar quality of player. Now, in order to trade back, you need someone that is willing to trade up and almost desperate to trade up. But there is a thought that if you can get a few more picks in return for moving off of the 11, you still might get somebody that you feel pretty similar about maybe in the early 20s in this draft.
And it's a good point because you look at players like Colson Loveland and Tyler Warren, tight ends who are heralded as the top two guys in this year's class. The Colts need a tight end badly. Do they want to move up? The Broncos, Sean Payton's always aggressive. Do you want to go from 11 to 20 and net maybe another day two pick and give you another chance to either trade back up?
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
In the first round, or have three or four day two picks for you, including 2 second rounders. So San Francisco has more than one hole, and I can argue that all the holes they have to have two defensive tackles, two edge rushers, a cornerback, a safety. Like, they have a lot of places they can go at 11, but ultimately, with the 11 picks they have to hit on about six of these guys. So the more picks you can kind of gain and gather might be better for them in this year's draft.
Yeah, I mean, I think the question is, do they feel like, because obviously they have someone who's at the top of their board identified right now. The question is, if you trade back, do you think you can still get him and how far that would be? So yeah. I wouldn't mind the strategy whatsoever, and it does feel like a lot of teams towards the back end of this draft also wouldn't mind moving backwards as well. It's a strategy kind of often used and or often you know, theorized but seldom applied. And so if the Niners feel like if, you know, perhaps at 15 or 16, that's a spot they can still get the dude they've identified already, then I would not be shocked. But I think generally, at least the way that I kind of came into this draft, I didn't expect the Niners to move up. I didn't necessarily expect them to move back either. And the way that it shaked out so far, I think based on some of the names and reports of players that they have hosted, that they've interviewed, I think there's someone on the board that they like here.
There better be someone on the board that they
like.
Well,
no, I mean, as far as like using the 11th pick.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we could just say I personally feel different than the 49ers do about their offensive line needs. I know, Sterling, what you laid out is 100% accurate. They feel really good about their offensive line room for some reason. I don't understand it. So
you want 11 centers in this year's draft, Tom Mark. Get Jake Brendel out of there.
I mean, they could use help at like four of five positions right now, honestly. I mean, you feel, okay, we did just get the 10th pick from the Chicago Bears, which means the Niners are officially on the clock. And this is, I don't know, minor surprise. They go tight end, but not Tyler Warren, who I think is the consensus number one tight end in this draft class. Colston Loveland out of Michigan, the tight end, is the pick to the Chicago Bears at number 10 overall. I am personally a big fan of Colston Loveland, and I would not be shocked if he has a better pro career than Tyler Warren. But, yeah, I mean, generally speaking, Tyler Warren was considered almost, not by miles, but pretty clearly the tight end one in this class.
Well, they're very different players, too. Tyler Warren's more of, you know, can be the wildcat quarterback, the H-back, the inline guy. He can kind of be your gadget player, if you will, but also play on the boundary, whereas Loveland is more of that traditional receiving tight end where you've got Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze, DJ Moore, now Colson Loveland. That's a passing attack that most teams are not going to want to face any given Sunday. So Ben Johnson is giving his second-year quarterback plenty of firepower to go out there and play against NFL defenses.
Yeah, I mean, and I think, look, it's you're paired up immediately with one of the best game callers, play callers in football. So, you know, the fact that, you know, Colston is going to be in an advantageous position is helpful. But now the question becomes, what do the Niners do? I personally think that it's going to be an interior defensive player. That's the way that I would lean, I should say, just because everything starts in the trenches. And I think that where they've really lacked over the last couple of seasons has been quality defensive tackle play. And I know Nick Bosa needs an opposite running mate, but I hope right now, I know that offensive line is something you'd like to get here, Mark, but a D tackle is the way that I feel the Niners should go.
All right, let me throw out a group of names because the Niners are officially on the clock. We will see where they go here in just a little bit. And when we do have the announcement, we will go live to Green Bay for the commissioner's announcement right here on Draft Night on 95.7 The Game. Okay, let me name a group, and you guys tell me if I have named the Niners pick at number 11 overall. Jalen Walker out of Georgia. Mykael Williams out of Georgia. That's an edge rusher. Jalen Walker, linebacker, but you got to figure out where you're going to play him in this Niners defensive scheme. So Jalen Walker, Mykael Williams, Derek Harmon is a name I've seen mocked to the Niners a lot, Walter Nolan, and Shamar Stewart. Sterling, have I just named one of those guys? Are they going to be the Niners pick here at number 11?
I think so. I think one of those guys kind of has to be. The way John Lynch talked about the edge rushing group during his pre-draft press conference, kind of screamed that they want that edge setter, the hard edge setter, the run defender on the edge. So I don't think that screams Jalen Walker. I think it also doesn't scream interior defensive tackle either. So I think they want to get the guy finally opposite Nick Bosa to kind of bookend their defensive line, and let's force things back up the middle and let our linebackers, whoever it may be in 2025 next to Fred Warner, wrap up some tackles and stop the run.
Yeah, I mean, they have not been able to do that consistently for the past couple of seasons. The guy that I like is Matt Harmon. I just feel like if you're able to find an interior defender that can get to the quarterback, which he did just about as good as any in college football last year, that's someone you want on your roster. And the Niners, while yes, the running game has been a bit of an issue for them, I feel like it's easier to find, you know, pick of the litter, run stoppers, boulders on the outside and in the middle, as opposed to someone who can get to the quarterback against centers and guards, which is typically not where the best offensive linemen lie. So, you know, I think the Niners, look, whoever they get is going to be a talented player, but I guess I would just personally lean more towards the end.
Okay, let's call our shots. The pick is officially in. We don't yet have the announcement. Again, once we do, we will go live to the commissioner in Green Bay for the announcement of the pick. We don't yet know who it is, but let's call our shots. I'll go Walter Nolan, defensive tackle out of Ole Miss. Sterling, what do you got?
The way John Lynch talked about the edge group, it's got to be Micah Williams.
Oof.
Out of Georgia.
I'll take the guy that went up to go wine and dine Dan Lanning for, and that's Matt Harmon.
Derek Harmon. Sorry, not be upset with that. I love me some Derek Harmon. We'll see. So, okay, an edge rusher is the prediction by Sterling, and Evan and I got a couple of defensive tackles. I mean, I wouldn't really be upset, I think, with any of these picks because they are desperate, desperate positions of need for the 49ers. As we zoom out and kind of discuss what went wrong for the 49ers last year, I mean, it was almost across the board everything on the defensive line. And there were, of course, a lot of other issues that the team had. It's a reason why they only won six games. But you get a talented player to throw at any position on that defensive line, and if you just get any kind of return on that you're expecting from an 11th overall pick, the Niners are going to be better as a result. And oh, by the way, it's not like they retained everyone on that defensive line from last year. They kept getting rid of players that were available and played for them last year. So if this is not, I'll just put it this way, if it's not defensive line, like I could convince myself about offensive line, but if it's not defensive line, we're going to have some issues because the Niners desperately, desperately need help in that spot. We are awaiting the commissioner. Haven't seen him pop out just yet. But Sterling, if this is not defensive line in some way, shape, or form, we might have to throw hands.
There will be a riot in the studio. I will fly all the way to Northern California and start swinging on somebody because it'll be a disaster. If it's Will Johnson, cornerback from Michigan, if it's Shedeur Sanders and the Brock Purdy era is over, we're going to have some problems because it'll just be a, what are you doing? What are you thinking? Does somebody have to have their brain examined in Santa Clara out there with John Lynch and company, whether it's Jed York or Kyle Shanahan or Robert Saleh? Somebody get our boys on defense some help because the way this team has built themselves through the trenches, they've taken many swings and they've had a lot of misses on that defensive line. And you bring back Robert Saleh, that to me tells you everything you need to know of their draft strategy this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, bringing Robert Saleh and then relieving him of many of his best players, you'd think that they would try to give him something back in the NFL draft. And you know, it looks like we're going to have an answer pretty soon here.
Yeah, the commissioner getting ready to walk out towards the podium. Kind of cool that the...
Attention to the main stage video screen.
Oh, what do we got going on there?
Special message from United States service members.
I don't think we need that just
yet. That was a pump fake.
We're getting close. We're getting close to the announcement of the 49ers pick at number 11 overall.
Right, so, Sterling, if Tyler Warren's not the pick, is the pick, the heir apparent to George Kittle, who perhaps is under into some contract.
Yeah, what's
disputes.
Going on with Kittle?
You wouldn't, you wouldn't enjoy that?
Well, then his sources are wrong because my goodness, like if you take a tight end, that will probably be your Debo Samuel replacement, your heir apparent to George Kittle. I think 11.
Back to you in Green Bay.
I don't know what is going on. The NFL didn't even have Roger Goodell. Now here comes Goodell. All right, here we go.
Thank you to our men and women who serve in the United States military for your sacrifices to defend our country's freedom. With the 11th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Michael Williams, defensive end, Georgia.
All right, there's the pick. Michael Williams, defensive end out of Georgia, 6'5", 267 pounds. Sterling called it. Michael Williams, the Georgia Bulldog, is a San Francisco 49er. That is the pick at number 11 overall. Sterling, your thoughts. You got it right.
What can I say? No, I think it's a great pick for San Francisco. You know, John Lynch, the way he talked about the edge rushing group, it was they want that edge setter, the run defender. You can push back on the pick a little bit with the fact that...
Oh, was he a reach?
There really isn't much of a pass rushing plan, but he's a strong edge rusher. He's a great run defender. He has good size, 6'5", 265 pounds, out of Georgia. 82.9 PFF run defense grade last year, 30 pressures. He had six sacks. played through an ankle injury, but the one great thing about him is he has 34 3/8-inch arms. You want to stop mobile quarterbacks from getting out of the pocket and scrambling for more yards. You want to contain the edge against speedy running backs. Think the Rams, who want to run the football over and over again against Kyler Murray. He's going to utilize those long arms and that power, push the pocket, and hopefully get Nick Bosa some more sacks when he can push that quarterback more his way behind the defensive line.
I mean, why I like the pick, he's a prototypical edge rusher, and he's someone that profiles as a pick that you're not going to mess up. Like, they needed starting caliber players on the defensive line. He's someone that can step in and start day one. Now, as far as, you know, I don't know if necessarily the reach is the word to use, but he's a safe pick. You know, and there is pressure, although the Niners have 10 more selections to use, there is pressure on hitting on these draft picks. And so I think that's why Mykael Williams is someone that makes sense right here, because he's going to give you starting caliber play. Is he going to be an immediate Pro Bowler, All-Pro caliber talent? That remains to be seen, but he's someone that is going to probably play on day one, and that's what the Niners need right now.
Yeah, played major snaps all 3 years at Georgia. This past year, 2024, had 5 sacks, had 4.5 sacks in each of the 2 previous years, but 6'5", 265 pounds, a Georgia native. Went to Georgia with the Bulldogs, of course, had a ton of success there under Kirby Smart, and now he's the latest San Francisco 49er. Okay, 888-957-9570. We're going to keep it here with you on draft night on 95.7 The Game. For now, Niners just made their pick. No time to take a break. Are you kidding me? But what I do want to do is, first of all, offer all of you guys tuning in the opportunity to weigh in, 888-957-9570. You can do so both over the phones and on the text line. But also, I want to check in with our guy Brian Baldinger, because if you've been listening here on 95.7 The Game, he's been giving us a lot of insight on a number of guys the Niners might pick here at number 11 overall, and let's revisit what he had to say about Mykael Williams. This is Baldy of NFL Network. You hear him every week during the NFL season on the Morning Roast. You will hear him tomorrow morning on the Morning Roast breaking down Mykael Williams in more depth. But here's a quick little snippet of Brian Baldinger on Mykael Williams.
Draft Spotlight with NFL Network's Brian Baldinger. Brought to you by Laughing Monk Brewing. Here's Baldy.
Let's look at Mykael Williams from Georgia. Now, he's been a 3-year player for them. He was injured in the first game against Clemson this year and played on basically an injured ankle all year. But he is bigger than Nick Bosa, faster than Nick Bosa coming out of Ohio State. I mean, he's 6'5 and an 8. He's 267 pounds, ran a 4.75 40 with long arms, all right, bench press 28 times. But you go back and you watch him as an 18-year-old freshman. Like, he's playing in a 3 technique, taking on double teams. He's bringing heat off the edge. Like, he's standing deep offensive tackles up at the line of scrimmage, stack and shed. I think Mykael Williams is a real prospect at number 11 for the 49ers.
Draft Spotlight with Brian Baldinger. Brought to you by Laughing Monk Brewing. Righteously brewed in San Francisco.
All right, there it is. That's Brian Baldinger breaking down the pick for the 49ers. Mykael Williams is the pick officially out of Georgia. Defensive end for the 49ers. 6'5 and an eighth, as Baldy said. 267 pounds. Dealt with an ankle injury this year. Bigger and faster than Nick Bosa. I mean, that's a way to sell 49er fans on Mykael Williams. Maybe the production, guys, wasn't there in terms of sacks and tackles for loss as it was for, say, a Nick Bosa coming out of Ohio State, but it feels like he has all of the physical tools and abilities to turn into maybe an even better pro than he was a collegiate defensive end.
And one of the great things about him is he can play inside and outside. So, you know, Salah likes to rotate his guys. He likes to use that Charles Omenihu, play the inside on base downs, go to the outside later on passing downs. So you're getting a player that gives you versatility compared to other edge rushers in this year's class, where even take Abdul Carter, who he goes in the top 3, top 4 is a great player, going to be probably one of the best edge rushers in football in the next 5 years or so if all goes well for him. However, he's a smaller edge rusher. Mykael Williams is that bigger body, the archetype, the long arms, the big frame, the speed, the power that Robert Saleh falls in love with. Fell in love with it in San Francisco when he was first here with the Jets. They were taking edge rushers every single year in the first round. He just loves the archetype of Mykael Williams. And the great thing about him is, compared to those guys on the board, Jaylen Walker, Shamar Stewart, the production for him is better. The traits maybe aren't as great, but you're getting a safe player, as Evan said, that you hope can grow into a really good player as the years progress in San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it signals that the 49ers are trying to get back to basics, which is what a lot of people believe that they should have been doing a couple of years ago. Yeah. Only reason is, of course, they're chasing a Super Bowl. And that's the goal, but we've already seen them signal a philosophical shift this offseason as far as cutting bait with some of the fat, should we call it, of their roster. And they're moving into a younger, faster, more reliable direction. This is a player that signals that to me and aligns with what they're talking about. So whereas the Niners in the past, we've seen them, I don't know if it's try to outsmart people in the draft or use their boards and just kind of plug and play some certain players, or even stash a guy like Ricky Pearsall last year in a perfect world, probably wouldn't have played as much as he did, even with the injury that he sustained preseason. So this is a guy that now you're expecting to step in and play. And there's going to be a lot of players that ideally they take in this draft that are going to be asked to step in and play. So I think the pick, look, we're going to find out, but the fact remains that the Niners had to get a talented player, I think a defensive lineman at number 11, and they didn't overthink it. And I think that's what a lot of people were hoping that they wouldn't do, overthink this pick.
Yeah, Mykael Williams is the pick, edge rusher, defensive end out of Georgia, 11 overall to the San Francisco 49ers. The Cowboys picking 12th, right behind the Niners, have made their pick as well. Tyler Booker, first offensive guard, interior offensive lineman off the board. That's Tyler Booker out of Alabama, a guard on the offensive line to the Dallas Cowboys, which means currently the Dolphins are on the clock, and the Dolphins pick is in. When that is announced, we'll let you know who it is right here on draft night on 95.7 The Game. So the 49ers, they pick an edge rusher, as I think a lot of us, at least on the defensive line, that we were expecting. The Niners still have 10 picks left currently in this NFL draft. There is still room to make moves. Let me ask you guys this. Is there any chance we see the 49ers consolidate a group of their picks and potentially move back in later on in the first round? Or is this just going to be it for the 49ers tonight? They have the 11th pick overall in the second round. Tomorrow, of course, they have a couple of picks in the third, including their own, the 11th overall pick in the third, 75th overall pick, and then they have a compensatory pick tacked on at the end of the third round. So end of what the Niners are going to be picking today, or do we think there's a chance they could consolidate some of their picks and move back into the first round later?
I think it depends on what you think their strategy should be. Is it we have to get 4, 5, 6 starters that can plug and play, as Evan was alluding to earlier, year one, which Mykael Williams does that for you. But if you want to take a risk and a reach, I think Josh Simmons, Ohio State tackle, could be a player that falls in this year's draft. He had the knee injury to the patellar. He's going to fall to somebody, whether it's the Texans or somebody else along those lines. If he falls into the late 20s, maybe San Francisco calls the Commanders at 29 and says, hey, let's make a deal here and get your heir apparent to Trent Williams. But that really feels like the only player you trade back up for at this point in time, depending on how the board falls in the next 20 picks or so.
Yeah, I would say it's been pretty chalky so far. Obviously, there's been one top five trade, but for the most part, those teams got the players that they wanted. I think it depends a little bit on what happens in the teens, which we're moving into now, because reportedly last year there was 20 players of the first round grade from the 49ers. This year there's 23. So they, and of course, and again, that's their board, but if there's a player that falls beyond there towards the back end of that first round, it also feels like, and there's some kind of some momentum from some of the national writers, that a lot of those late teams feel free moving into the second round. They don't mind really moving back. And so that might be an opportunity for the 49ers to pounce. But again, that depends on how the rest of this first round shakes out. And if there's a player with that elusive first round grade that the Niners have in that, you know, perhaps 25 to 28 range that they feel like they can reach up to, utilize some of their picks that they've been given for compensatory this season and just go get a dude. You know, that to me is kind of the needle they'd be looking to thread. But in general, I think they're better served kind of just playing the dartboard game. You got more picks. You got more opportunities to get starting caliber players. They've had a good track record of finding guys in later rounds. And I feel like that's the way they'll roll.
Yeah. 888-957-9570 is the number to call and to text if you want to weigh in. It's draft night here on 95.7 The Game. That's Evan Giddings. I'm Mark Grandy. Sterling Bennett here as well. The pick, Mykael Williams, 11th overall edge rusher out of Georgia to the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, guys, there's, when all else fails, just go to a dude in the trenches in the SEC. I mean, odds are you're going to have some success there. It feels like the Niners haven't done a ton of that of late. And again, a part of it is because they haven't really put as much of an emphasis on the trenches in the last couple of years. You get a dude on one of the best teams in the country going up against the best talent in the country. I mean, just look at the offensive linemen that were drafted ahead of Mykael Williams that he was going against this year. Kelvin Banks, two picks ahead of him, out of Texas. Texas this past year in the SEC. Armand Membu, seventh overall to the Jets. Offensive tackle out of Missouri. That's also in the SEC. Will Campbell, offensive tackle, fourth overall out of LSU. Also, of course, in the SEC. So you have a tested edge rusher who, again, maybe hasn't put up the most eye-popping numbers, but who has been tested against talent that is going to be, you know, every Sunday performers in the NFL, and you hope that you can build off of that baseline that you got from this guy. You hope that he's a day one starter. You hope that he's the bookend to Nick Bosa that you've been searching for a really long time. And if you hit on this pick, the Niners defense is going to look entirely different, because the Niners thought process has always been build from the inside out. You have Nick Bosa. I know the numbers haven't been great from Bosa since he signed that then record-breaking contract a couple of years ago. But a lot of it is because he's had a lack of production around him. But if you hit on this pick and Mykael Williams becomes a quality edge rusher opposite Nick Bosa, the entire Niners defense is going to have a different feeling.
When you mentioned, you know, the safe pick on the field for sure, Mike Green went to Marshall. How much do those 17 sacks translate to the NFL? Shamar Stewart didn't have production very much at Texas A&M. Walter Nolan, he transferred to a few different high schools and a few different colleges, one of those being Texas A&M. So overall, a safe player on the field. But even off the field, too. Mike Green has some red flags off the field. James Pierce Jr., edge rusher from Tennessee, has some red flags off the field. You're getting a leader, getting a good talent, and a safe player overall. So I think it's a, like Evan was saying, a safe pick for sure. But overall, I think San Francisco gets the right pick here, as what we can tell as the board has fallen so far at pick 11, which you hope, like you were saying, Mark, can kind of be the edge rusher that has eluded this team maybe since D Ford's injury became a problem for them, where it's been Leonard Floyd, Ebukam, Amenihu, you know, it's been Arden Key. Like, they've been trying to find an answer here, and they're banking on the 11th overall pick to be an answer for them this season.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's pressure on this pick, and I think that, you know, with his frame, the measurables, there's obviously room for him to improve, particularly as a pass rusher. I love the fact that he's someone that ideally can set the edge and plays a little less, perhaps, risky than the guy opposite him, because this is really what this pick is all about. It's about number 97. It's about trying to get the best version of Nick Bosa, who is recently removed from a Defensive Player of the Year award. So if you're able to use this guy to unlock or allow Bosa to reemerge, that's when you're going to be at your best. You're trying to find the best way to maximize your talent. And to be fair, the Niners don't have a ton of it right now on the defensive side of the ball. Could their pick this year be great? Perhaps. But I'm banking more on Nick Bosa playing at a higher level. That's what's going to allow this defense to reach their ceiling. And so to me, this pick is yes, it's about finding a starter. It's about finding a safe plug-and-play player. But it's about unlocking Nick Bosa, because there's now even more pressure on him, maybe even than there was a couple of years ago, to find a way to lead this defense and do it where it matters the most. When you have Robert Saleh back, you have someone that you trust, you have a defensive mind that has gotten the best out of the Niners as a group, as a whole. And now, Nick Bosa, it's up to you with your running mate in an ideal world to go out there and get it done.
Yeah, Mykael Williams is the pick for the Niners. Defensive end, edge rusher out of Georgia, 11th overall to the 49ers. Since then, Tyler Booker, an offensive lineman, interior offensive lineman, a guard out of Alabama to Dallas. And the two latest picks that I'll clean up for you here on draft night on 95.7, the game, Miami picks Kenneth Grant, a defensive tackle out of Michigan, second Michigan defensive lineman to go. Of course, going earlier was Mason Graham, also out of Michigan, to Cleveland, fifth overall. Kenneth Grant, though, D-tackle to Miami, 13th overall. And then, no surprise, once you found out that Tyler Warren, tight end out of Penn State, was still on the board with Indy on the clock, you knew what that pick was going to be. If you could have told Colts fans before, like maybe a month ago, that Tyler Warren would be on the board 14th overall, they would have hugged you even if you were a complete stranger. I don't think they really expected that the way that the draft process has gone. I think it became more and more likely as the days passed. But Tyler Warren to Indiana at 14, the tight end out of Penn State, that felt like maybe the easiest pick to predict, potentially out of maybe the top three or top four of this draft.
When Daniel Jones gets a dog, baby, he's back in Indianapolis. Watch out, Anthony Richardson. It might be over for you, brother. But no, look, that is maybe, besides Cam Ward, just the biggest, if that player is there,
yeah, no
he's
brainer.
Going to Indianapolis. Yep. But I'm actually kind of surprised how the defensive tackles have fallen in this year's draft. Only two of them thus far, Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant out of Michigan. It kind of shows you that the NFL is valuing not taking defensive tackles in this year's draft early, knowing that this draft has about 20-plus of these guys that can play for you on day one. So you're going to see a run somewhere, but I am pretty surprised only two have gone thus far through the first 14 picks or so.
Yeah, especially considering that's in many ways how this year's Super Bowl champion won. They won from the middle. Like they got after the quarterback, and their twin defensive tackles just absolutely ate the Kansas City Chiefs offensive line. So, you know, I think that we're seeing a lot of these teams, and granted, it's not a quarterback-laden draft. There's not a ridiculous amount of skilled players that are eye-popping beyond really Travis Hunter. But I think this draft is one where a lot of teams are just looking to kind of beef themselves up, and that's why we've already seen the amount of work put into the offensive line. I think it's interesting that Dallas has also tried to, in many ways, get back to what made them successful. Granted, it was 30 years ago, but Tyler Booker, and right on someone that I think a lot of people had mocked a little bit lower, but an extremely beefy interior defense offensive lineman, and obviously with them losing Zach Martin, that makes sense for them, but overall, a lot of these teams, I think, are just trying to fortify the trenches. And I think that's what we learned the most about this year in football, is that you can still win by either running the ball, getting to the quarterback, and you don't need a guy that can light it up for 500 yards every single week. In fact, sometimes that's going to hurt you. So, you know, the Niners are abiding by that. And it's interesting because they're also, it seems like, about to pay their quarterback. So, you know, they're kind of rolling with the times.
Yeah, you would hope that they're about to pay their quarterback. Well, it hasn't happened just yet.
Yeah.
I think it's going to happen at some point here pretty soon, but we shall see. We can talk about that as the night moves along. It's draft night here on 95.7 The Game. We're with you until 10 o'clock, so plenty of time for your calls and your text. The Niners have made their maybe only pick in the first round. They don't have another pick left tonight. But we shall see. There is plenty of time for them to get on the phone with some GMs and maybe move back into the first round. But still plenty to get into. Mykael Williams, edge rusher out of Georgia, is the pick for the Niners at number 11 overall. It's Evan Giddings, Sterling Bennett, Mark Randy with you. Time for a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about how this draft is moving along. The Niners' needs, they've addressed one need, although edge rusher still might be a need. There are a lot of other holes on this Niner roster. We can talk about that and a whole lot more. It's draft night on 95.7 The Game. We're back with more. Yeah, there it is. Mykael Williams out of Georgia is the pick for the 49ers at number 11 overall. Welcome back to draft night here on 95.7 The Game. I'm Mark Randy, Evan Giddings, and Sterling Bennett with you as well. We mentioned Tyler Warren, the tight end out of Penn State, to Indiana with pick 14 before we broke. During the commercial break, we got just one pick in. The Atlanta Falcons at 15 overall. They go with Mykael Williams' collegiate teammate, Jalen Walker, outside linebacker, edge rusher out of Georgia as well. So Jalen Walker joins Mykael Williams as a pro Bulldog as well. But Jalen Walker is the latest pick to Atlanta. And now another NFC West team is on the clock. The Arizona Cardinals are currently on the clock. Always keep an eye on what NFC West teams do. Arizona right now on the clock. The Seahawks on the clock and a couple of picks as well. So we will keep particularly close attention to those guys. But guys, as I was looking at a little bit more Mykael Williams tape during the commercial break, what stands out to me, my God, this dude is powerful. Oh man, the way that he bull rushes dudes. You get that ankle fully healthy, you get this dude coming in and ready for week one at 100%, we're going to see him put a couple of tackles on their backside, I can guarantee you that. He's got some power And if that translates, this is going to look like a pretty good pick by the Niners.
Oh, might have lost Sterling there. But, I think for me, it just boils down to meat and potatoes. Like, when the Niners are successful, they have four defensive linemen that can get to the football. They are players that are basically putting their feet, putting their hands in the dirt, pardon me, and attacking the quarterback straight up. So this is a guy that does that. It's someone that you don't have to worry about stunting, trying to scheme for to get him loose. Like, you just line him up against whoever's across from him, and he's going to be able to create some sort of advantage either for himself or his teammates. And that's another reason why, whether it's safe, you know, there might have been more talented players there, but I think as far as what the Niners are looking to do, what they're trying to accomplish, he's someone that fits right in.
Sterling, I was just talking about the power of Mykael Williams. I know you've probably crushed like 100% more tape than I have, probably more than that, on Mykael Williams and on everybody else. But just the look that I got just during the commercial break, man, the power on this dude just absolutely stands out.
No, I was saying that the Niners had lacked pocket pushers last year. Malik Collins wasn't that. Leonard Floyd wasn't that. They haven't really had that kind of at all under Shanahan and Saleh, again, maybe ever since 2019. And they only got some of D Ford that year. He got hurt before the playoffs began. So you're getting your first pocket pushing edge rusher opposite Nick Bosa, a guy that can just wreak havoc. He's a very violent player. He wants to take, you know, and to shove offensive tackles to the ground. And again, if you have an edge rusher that can force the quarterback and the running back to the way of a former defensive player of the year, Nick Bosa, it's a pretty good player to have on your defense when you're letting Nick Bosa eat every single Sunday, or at least you hope that's the case for you in 2025. But he's just a good player overall. Again, the pass rush plan can certainly improve, but the baseline's there. And they're banking on Saleh and Kocerek to be able to unlock the next level for a player like Mykael Williams. And if he wants to learn and is willing to learn, that's the right guy to get in the building for you.
There is, though, a pretty good amount of pressure on Mykael to come in and immediately be effective because, he's going to have absolutely every opportunity to be a day one starter, and the Niners haven't had a lot of high draft picks of late where you feel that kind of pressure, and the added pressure on a guy like Mykael Williams is, yeah, you are a high draft pick, 11th overall, but you're also going to a football team that has, you know, despite what last year was and despite what the frustrations of this offseason have been so far, the expectation is, try to win a championship. Like, start with winning a division and then winning a playoff game, but try to win a championship. And if you have a rookie who was picked this high that struggles to begin, there's going to be a lot of hand-wringing about that. I want your thoughts on that in just a second, but I do have to update you the latest pick. I was just watching Sterling, and I think he is upset based on this pick because the Arizona Cardinals, Niners in-division rival, just picked the guy that I think he's pretty high on. Walter Nolan, defensive tackle out of Ole Miss, is the pick to the Arizona Cardinals. Sterling, are the Niners going to be ruining the day they pass on Walter Nolan and instead allowed the Cardinals to draft him?
Well, it depends on how long Jake Brendel's playing center for you. So Walter Nolan's a really good player out of Ole Miss. He was the guy I think many people mocked to San Francisco throughout the process, but things have kind of shifted lately to the edge rushing group after John Lynch's pre-draft press conference. But he's a guy that, if you want to have a pro comp, is often compared to that of Jalen Carter in Philadelphia, so it's pretty comparable as to why he goes to the Cardinals now with Jonathan Gannon as their head coach. There are some off-the-field questions. He is a player that threw a tantrum during a practice and has walked off and didn't return, so I can see why San Francisco didn't want to bring him into the building. However, if you can get his head on straight, he is just a phenomenal player. You can argue there are some people, and I'm sure some teams that maybe even had him ahead of Mason Graham on their draft boards. He is the traitsiest defensive tackle in this year's draft, bar none. It's just about, can you get him focused on your defense? But I am not looking forward to watching San Francisco play him, knowing the left guard and center situation we have out there in the Bay Area.
Yeah, I was going to say, it doesn't sound like they've rued the day yet in not picking him, but they may have rued the day that they failed to select someone to block him.
Yes.
Because
yes.
They don't really have anybody to do that right now. you know, I think also, too, it's like the Niners, to me, are trying to figure out what can make them successful in this new, and not even looking at the NFL, but just like their division. And I do think it's interesting that the Los Angeles Rams have built a very young, fast, physical defensive line. Clearly, that's the way with this pick that Arizona is moving towards. Seattle, even to some extent, has spent some high-round capital on defensive linemen. And that's what made the Niners really good between even Trent Baalke and, of course, John Lynch. They had a string of, what, 5 out of 6 years where they spent first-round picks on defensive linemen. They've gotten away from that as of late. Javon Kinlaw was the most recent one in the first round taken, which obviously did not pan out. But just because you missed on a pick doesn't mean you go away from what's made you successful. And so I think along with what the Niners have been able to do in the past, you're also seeing a lot of teams in their division adopt that ideology as well.
I think the Rams are a great example for the Niners this year, because the Rams had gone through something similar to what the Niners are doing this offseason when the Rams, you know, they acquired Stafford, gave him the contract, and they gave him a new contract this offseason, but more of a short-term deal because he's getting up there, only has, you know, maybe a year or two left where you can consider him being an above-average quarterback. But they had to chip away, not necessarily like a lot of talent, but big names, pricey names, and they just bit the bullet in the moment, and they kind of reset their financials. I think their situation was a little more dire than the Niners, but the Niners going through something very similar. And then what did the Rams do in the draft last year? They go 2 defensive linemen, their first 2 picks, 19th overall, Jared Verse out of Florida State, and he was amazing last year. Their pick in the second round was Braden Fisk, also out of Florida State, an interior defensive lineman. And that, to your point, Evan, kind of turn their entire defense around. And if the Niners are able to do something similar, because, you know, they did get an edge rusher, a pass rusher to play on the edge of their defensive line opposite Nick Bosa, no doubt there is still a big gaping hole, maybe 2 gaping holes in the interior of their defensive line. They are going to address that at some point, if not maybe in their next pick. And hell, it might still happen in the first round today. I would be surprised, but we shall see. But I think the Rams are a really good like roadmap for what the Niners are trying to do. It is use a couple of valuable picks early in this draft, and if you hit on both of them, the defense is going to look 10 times better than it did last year.
And you look at Jared Verse as being, let's say, the Micah Williams for the Rams.
Yeah.
Jared Verse doesn't really have the pass rush plan. He's just a, I'm going to push you around and bully you for the next 52 snaps and see what you can do. So
I'm going to wear you down Verse eventually, and then I'll get you a couple times.
Exactly. And we saw that pay dividends for Los Angeles this past year. And I think most Niner fans would say they got a heck of a defense out there that's really young that can help, I don't want to say carry them, but can keep them in games and be a difference for them in bigger games. The playoffs were a big example of that, too. But I think you're right, Mark. That is the blueprint. That is the archetype. You want to follow what the Rams did in 2023, whether it is round 2 or 3 when you get your defensive tackles in place. But it's about getting back to basics. How do you get to the quarterback as quickly as possible, and how do you wreak havoc? San Francisco used to be so deep, 5, 6, 8 guys deep, where it didn't matter what down it was, what quarter it was. They had somebody that was going to make a play on you, 2021 being the best example of that, where they had Bosa and Key and Nebukam and Menehue and Armstead, and it was like everyone is making plays for you. So San Francisco really has to get back to that, where you have 5 to 6 guys that are going to find a way to the quarterback, and you're hoping that they can use the Rams as their model. And again, Micah Williams does scream a Jared Verse type of player with the power he has.
A lot of people believe that they should have been doing a couple of years ago. Yeah. Only reason is, of course, they're chasing a Super Bowl, and that's the goal. But we've already seen them signal a philosophical shift this offseason as far as cutting bait with some of the fat, should we call it, of their roster. And they're moving into a younger, faster, more reliable direction. This is a player that signals that to me and aligns with what they're talking about. So whereas the Niners in the past, we've seen them, I don't know if it's try to outsmart people in the draft or use their boards and just kind of plug and play some certain players, or even stash a guy like Ricky Pearsall last year in a perfect world, probably wouldn't have played as much as he did, even with the injury that he sustained preseason. So this is a guy that now you're expecting to step in and play. And there's going to be a lot of players that ideally they take in this draft that are going to be asked to step in and play. So I think the pick, look, we're going to find out. But the fact remains that the Niners had to get a talented player, I think a defensive lineman at number 11, and they didn't overthink it. And I think that's what a lot of people were hoping that they wouldn't do, overthink this pick.
Yeah, Mykael Williams is the pick, edge rusher, defensive end out of Georgia, 11 overall to the San Francisco 49ers. The Cowboys picking 12th, right behind the Niners, have made their pick as well. Tyler Booker, first offensive guard, interior offensive lineman off the board. That's Tyler Booker out of Alabama, a guard on the offensive line to the Dallas Cowboys, which means currently the Dolphins are on the clock, and the Dolphins pick is in. When that is announced, we'll let you know who it is right here on draft night on 95.7 The Game. So the 49ers, they pick an edge rusher, as I think a lot of us, at least on the defensive line, that we were expecting. The Niners still have 10 picks left currently in this NFL draft. There is still room to make moves. Let me ask you guys this. Is there any chance we see the 49ers consolidate a group of their picks and potentially move back in later on in the first round? Or is this just going to be it for the 49ers tonight? They have the 11th pick overall in the second round. Tomorrow, of course, they have a couple of picks in the third, including their own, the 11th overall pick in the third, 75th overall pick, and then they have a compensatory pick tacked on at the end of the third round. So end of what the Niners are going to be picking today, or do we think there's a chance they could consolidate some of their picks and move back into the first round later?
I think it depends on what you think their strategy should be. Is it we have to get four or five, six starters that can plug and play, as Evan was alluding to earlier, year one, which Mykael Williams does that for you. But if you want to take a risk and a reach, I think Josh Simmons, Ohio State tackle, could be a player that falls in this year's draft. He had the knee injury to the patellar. He's going to fall to somebody, whether it's the Texans or somebody else along those lines. If he falls into the late 20s, maybe San Francisco calls the Commanders at 29 and says, hey, let's make a deal here and get your heir apparent to Trent Williams. But that really feels like the only player you trade back up for at this point in time, depending on how the board falls in the next 20 picks or so.
Yeah, I would say it's been pretty chalky so far. Obviously, there's been one top five trade, but for the most part, those teams got the players that they wanted. I think it depends a little bit on what happens in the teens, which we're moving into now, because reportedly last year there was 20 players of the first round grade from the 49ers. This year there's 23. Huh. So they, and of course, and again, that's their board, but if there's a player that falls beyond there towards the back end of that first round, it also feels like, and there's some kind of some momentum from some of the national writers, that a lot of those late teams feel free moving into the second round. They don't mind really moving back. And so that might be an opportunity for the 49ers to pounce. But again, that depends on how the rest of this first round shakes out. And if there's a player with that elusive first round grade that the Niners have in that, you know, perhaps 25 to 28 range that they feel like they can reach up to, utilize some of their picks that they've been given for compensatory this season and just go get a dude. You know, that to me is kind of the needle they'd be looking to thread. But in general, I think they're better served kind of just playing the dartboard game. You got more picks. You got more opportunities to get starting caliber players. They've had a good track record of finding guys in later rounds. And I feel like that's the way they'll roll.
Yeah. 888-957-9570 is the number to call and to text if you want to weigh in. It's draft night here on 95.7 The Game. That's Evan Giddings. I'm Mark Grandy. Sterling Bennett here as well. The pick, Mykael Williams, 11th overall edge rusher out of Georgia to the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, guys, there's, when all else fails, just go to a dude in the trenches in the SEC. I mean, odds are you're going to have some success there. It feels like the Niners haven't done a ton of that of late. And again, a part of it is because they haven't really put as much of an emphasis on the trenches in the last couple of years. You get a dude on one of the best teams in the country going up against the best talent in the country. I mean, just look at the offensive linemen that were drafted ahead of Mykael Williams that he was going against this year. Kelvin Banks, two picks ahead of him, out of Texas. Texas this past year in the SEC. Armand Membu, 7th overall to the Jets. Offensive tackle out of Missouri. That's also in the SEC. Will Campbell, offensive tackle, 4th overall out of LSU. Also, of course, in the SEC. So you have a tested edge rusher who, again, maybe hasn't put up the most eye-popping numbers, but who has been tested against talent that is going to be, you know, every Sunday performers in the NFL, and you hope that you can build off of that baseline that you got from this guy. You hope that he's a day one starter. You hope that he's the bookend to Nick Bosa that you've been searching for a really long time. And if you hit on this pick, the Niners defense is going to look entirely different, because the Niners thought process has always been build from the inside out. You have Nick Bosa. I know the numbers haven't been great from Bosa since he signed that then record-breaking contract a couple of years ago, but a lot of it is because he's had a lack of production around him. But if you hit on this pick and Mykal Williams becomes a quality edge rusher opposite Nick Bosa, the entire Niners defense is going to have a different feeling.
When you mentioned, you know, the safe pick on the field for sure, Mike Green went to Marshall. How much do those 17 sacks translate to the NFL? Shamar Stewart didn't have production very much at Texas A&M. Walter Nolan, he transferred to a few different high schools and a few different colleges, one of those being Texas A&M. So overall, a safe player on the field. But even off the field, too. Mike Green has some red flags off the field. James Pierce Jr., edge rusher from Tennessee, has some red flags off the field. You're getting a leader, getting a good talent, and a safe player overall. So I think it's a, like Evan was saying, a safe pick for sure. But overall, I think San Francisco gets the right pick here, as what we can tell as the board has fallen so far at pick 11, which you hope, like you were saying, Mark, can kind of be the edge rusher that has eluded this team maybe since D Ford's injury became a problem for them, where it's been Leonard Floyd, Ebukam, Amenihu, you know, it's been Arden Key. Like, they've been trying to find an answer here, and they're banking on the 11th overall pick to be an answer for them this season.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's pressure on this pick, and I think that, you know, with his frame, the measurables, there's obviously room for him to improve, particularly as a pass rusher. I love the fact that he's someone that ideally can set the edge and play is a little less, perhaps, risky than the guy opposite him, because this is really what this pick is all about. It's about number 97. It's about trying to get the best version of Nick Bosa, who is recently removed from a Defensive Player of the Year award. So if you're able to use this guy to unlock or allow Bosa to reemerge, that's when you're going to be at your best. You're trying to find the best way to maximize your talent. And to be fair, the Niners don't have a ton of it right now on the defensive side of the ball. Could their pick this year be great? Perhaps. But I'm banking more on Nick Bosa playing at a higher level. That's what's going to allow this defense to reach their ceiling. And so to me, this pick is yes, it's about finding a starter. It's about finding a safe plug-and-play player. But it's about unlocking Nick Bosa, because there's now even more pressure on him, maybe even than there was a couple of years ago, to find a way to lead this defense and do it where it matters the most. When you have Robert Saleh back, you have someone that you trust, you have a defensive mind that has gotten the best out of the Niners as a group, as a whole. And now, Nick Bosa, it's up to you with your running mate in an ideal world to go out there and get it done.
Yeah, Mykal Williams is the pick for the Niners, defensive end, edge rusher out of Georgia, 11th overall to the 49ers. Since then, Tyler Booker, an offensive lineman, interior offensive lineman, a guard out of Alabama to Dallas. And the two latest picks that I'll clean up for you here on draft night on 95.7, the game, Miami picks Kenneth Grant, a defensive tackle out of Michigan, second Michigan defensive lineman to go. Of course, going earlier was Mason Graham, also out of Michigan, to Cleveland, fifth overall. Kenneth Grant, though, D tackle to Miami, 13th overall. And then, no surprise, once you found out that Tyler Warren, tight end out of Penn State, was still on the board with Indy on the clock, you knew what that pick was going to be. If you could have told Colts fans before, like maybe a month ago, that Tyler Warren would be on the board 14th overall, they would have hugged you, even if you were a complete stranger. I don't think they really expected that the way that the draft process has gone. I think it became more and more likely as the days passed. But Tyler Warren to Indiana at 14, the tight end out of Penn State, that felt like maybe the easiest pick to predict, potentially out of maybe the top three or top four of this draft.
When Daniel Jones gets a dog, baby, he's back in Indianapolis. Watch out, Anthony Richardson. It might be over for you, brother. But no, look, that is maybe, besides Cam Ward, just the biggest, if that player is there,
yeah, no
he's
brainer.
Going to Indianapolis. Yep. But I'm actually kind of surprised how the defensive tackles have fallen in this year's draft. Only two of them thus far, Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant out of Michigan. It kind of shows you that the NFL is valuing not taking defensive tackles in this year's draft early, knowing that this draft has about 20 plus of these guys that can play for you on day one. So you're going to see a run somewhere, but I am pretty surprised only two have gone thus far through the first 14 picks or so.
Yeah, especially considering that's in many ways how this year's Super Bowl champion won.
They won
from the middle. Like they got after the quarterback, and their twin defensive tackles just absolutely ate the Kansas City Chiefs offensive line. So, you know, I think that we're seeing a lot of these teams, and granted, it's not a quarterback-laden draft. There's not a ridiculous amount of skill players that are eye-popping beyond really Travis Hunter. But I think this draft is one where a lot of teams are just looking to kind of beef themselves up, and that's why we've already seen the amount of work put into the offensive line. I think it's interesting that Dallas has also tried to, in many ways, get back to what made them successful. Granted, it was 30 years ago, but Tyler Booker, and right on someone that I think a lot of people had mocked a little bit lower, but an extremely beefy interior offensive lineman, and obviously with them losing Zach Martin, that makes sense for them. But overall, a lot of these teams, I think, are just trying to fortify the trenches. And I think that's what we learned the most about this year in football, is that you can still win by either running the ball, getting to the quarterback, and you don't need a guy that can light it up for 500 yards every single week. In fact, sometimes that's going to hurt you. So, you know, the Niners are abiding by that. And it's interesting because they're also, it seems like, about to pay their quarterback. So, you know, they're kind of rolling with the times.
Yeah, you would hope that they're about to pay their quarterback. Well, it hasn't happened just yet.
Yeah.
I think it's going to happen at some point here pretty soon, but we shall see. We can talk about that as the night moves along. It's draft night here on 95.7 The Game. We're with you until 10 o'clock, so plenty of time for your calls and your text. The Niners have made their maybe only pick in the first round. They don't have another pick left tonight. But we shall see. There is plenty of time for them to get on the phone with some GMs and maybe move back into the first round. But still plenty to get into. Mykael Williams, edge rusher out of Georgia, is the pick for the Niners at number 11 overall. It's Evan Giddings, Sterling Bennett, Mark Randy with you. Time for a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about how this draft is moving along. The Niners' needs. They've addressed one need, although edge rusher still might be a need. There are a lot of other holes on this Niner roster. We can talk about that and a whole lot more. It's draft night on 95.7 The Game. We're back with more right after this.
It's the 6 o'clock shop. Head to Safeway this week for this amazing deal and more. For members, treat yourself to something fresh with Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5 or $1.25 each. Visit Safeway.com for more details, and we will see you in the aisles.
Fellas, you've made clutch decisions before. Buying your first home, starting a family. But let's be real, you're done having kids. So why are you still playing defense in the bedroom? At Tri-Valley Vasectomy, we make it quick, easy, and virtually pain-free. In and out, done in under 15 minutes. No scalpel, no stitches. Just peace of mind and a better game plan for your future. Your wife will thank you. Your wallet will too. Book now at TriValleyVasectomy.com. Tri-Valley Vasectomy, because smart players plan ahead.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-700-6898. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-700-6898. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-700-6898. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-700-6898, 800-700-6898, or biglou.com.
The following is an attorney advertisement. If you get sidelined by a workplace injury, the workers' compensation attorneys at Boxer & Gerson can help get you back in the game. Our team of skilled attorneys will fight by your side for the treatment and compensation you deserve. We care about justice for injured workers. That's what makes us Northern California's premier workers' comp law firm. Call Boxer and Gerson at 510-345-2341 or visit BoxerLaw.com for a free consultation. Boxer and Gerson, your life is worth the fight.
When pests invade, you need a name you can trust. ATCO Pest Control is the longest-standing, diamond-certified pest control company in the San Francisco Bay Area, proudly serving since 1985. ATCO offers safe, effective pest control solutions for everything from termites to ants. Their expert team is ready to protect your home with trusted, eco-friendly methods. Check out atcopestcontrol.com today. ATCO Pest Control, the Bay Area's trusted pest control experts for over 40 years. Call 888-900-9697 now for 10% off your initial service.
Bay Area, you know there's nothing better than watching a game with a cold, righteously brewed beer in hand. That's why I always roll with Laughing Monk Brewing.
Okay, yeah, I mean, the beer is fire. Why are you talking like that?
With locations in San Francisco, Sunnyvale, Scotts Valley. You can always count on top-notch craft beer, next-level food, and the best game day atmosphere in the Bay.
Hold up, bro. Like, are you doing a commercial right now?
Glad you asked, Jasky, because you can find Laughing Monk at the best bars and restaurants in the Bay or pick up a four-pack at many fine retailers like Whole Foods, Gus's, and New Leaf Markets.
Dude, just pass the wings!
Hey, Bay Area sports fans. Whether you're traveling to cheer on your favorite team or heading out to explore the world, make sure your journey starts at San Francisco International Airport, the Bay Area's home court for travel. With convenient nonstop flights to more than 130 U.S. and international destinations, SFO is your gateway to fun. Plus, with advanced booking for parking, unique shops, and tons of delicious food options, SFO makes sure your trip kicks off like a home game win. Fly SFO, the airport built for champions like you. Visit flysfo.com.
Join us at Odyssey as we all do our one thing. Together, millions of things for our planet. You can help protect native habitats and waterways right from your home. Stop using toxic pesticides and instead manually weed and prune your garden. Then use the garden waste, including stems, leaves, and roots, to start a compost pile. You can add leftover kitchen scraps and withered indoor plants and potting soil as well. What's your one thing? One Thing is brought to you by the San Francisco Zoo. Visit them online at sfzoo.org.
This is Cindy Faulkner with Valley Heating, Cooling, Electrical, and Solar. Locally and family owned for 63 years and a Lennox Premier dealer. Our team doesn't just install and maintain systems. We create comfort and peace of mind for your home. We can't wait to show you what old-fashioned service is all about. And we will match any advertised maintenance offer. Interested in electrification? Save up to $5,500 with available rebates. Check out full details at valleyheating.com. Valleyheating.com.
Still getting around to that fix on your car? You got this. On eBay, you'll find millions of parts guaranteed to fit. Doesn't matter if it's a major engine repair or your first time swapping your windshield wipers. eBay has that part you need, ready to click perfectly into place. For changes big and small, loud or quiet, find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. But you already know that. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppable bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. With Downy Unstoppable, you just toss, wash, wow, for all day freshness.
With the 11th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Mykel Williams, defensive end, Georgia.
Now back to Draft Night on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, there it is. Mykel Williams out of Georgia is the pick for the 49ers at number 11 overall. Welcome back to Draft Night here on 95.7 The Game. I'm Mark Grandy, Evan Giddings, and Sterling Bennett with you as well. We mentioned Tyler Warren, the tight end out of Penn State to Indiana with pick 14 before we broke. During the commercial break, we got just one pick in. The Atlanta Falcons at 15 overall. They go with Mykel Williams' collegiate teammate, Jalen Walker, outside linebacker, edge rusher out of Georgia as well. So Jalen Walker joins Mykel Williams as a pro Bulldog as well. But Jalen Walker is the latest pick to Atlanta. And now another NFC West team is on the clock. The Arizona Cardinals are currently on the clock. Always keep an eye on what NFC West teams do. Arizona right now on the clock. The Seahawks on the clock and a couple of picks as well. So we will keep particularly close attention to those guys. But guys, as I was looking at a little bit more Mykael Williams tape during the commercial break, what stands out to me, my God, this dude is powerful. Oh man, the way that he bull rushes dudes. You get that ankle fully healthy, you get this dude coming in and ready for week one at 100%, we're going to see him put a couple of tackles on their backside, I can guarantee you that. He's got some power, and if that translates, this is going to look like a pretty good pick by the Niners.
Oh, might have lost Sterling there. But, I think for me, it just boils down to meat and potatoes. Like, when the Niners are successful, they have four defensive linemen that can get to the football. They are players that are basically putting their feet, putting their hands in the dirt, pardon me, and attacking the quarterback straight up. So this is a guy that does that. It's someone that you don't have to worry about stunting, trying to scheme for to get him loose. Like, you just line him up against whoever's across from him, and he's going to be able to create some sort of advantage either for himself or his teammates. And that's another reason why, whether it's safe, there might have been more talented players there, but I think as far as what the Niners are looking to do, what they're trying to accomplish, he's someone that fits right in.
Sterling, I was just talking about the power of Mykael Williams. I know you've probably crushed like 100% more tape than I have, probably more than that, on Mykael Williams and on everybody else. But just the look that I got just during the commercial break, man, the power on this dude just absolutely stands out.
Now, I was saying that the Niners had lacked pocket pushers last year. Malik Collins wasn't that. Leonard Floyd wasn't that. They haven't really had that kind of at all under Shanahan and Saleh, again, maybe ever since 2019. And they only got some of D Ford that year. He got hurt before the playoffs began. So you're getting your first pocket pushing edge rusher opposite Nick Bosa, a guy that can just wreak havoc. He's a very violent player. He wants to take, and to shove offensive tackles to the ground. And again, if you have an edge rusher that can force the quarterback and the running back to the way of a former defensive player of the year, Nick Bosa, it's a pretty good player to have on your defense when you're letting Nick Bosa eat every single Sunday, or at least you hope that's the case for you in 2025. But he's just a good player overall. Again, the pass rush plan can certainly improve, but the baseline's there. And they're banking on Saleh and Kocerek to be able to unlock the next level for a player like Mykael Williams. And if he wants to learn and is willing to learn, that's the right guy to get in the building for you.
There is, though, a pretty good amount of pressure on Mykael to come in and immediately be effective because, he's going to have absolutely every opportunity to be a day one starter, and the Niners haven't had a lot of high draft picks of late where you feel that kind of pressure, and the added pressure on a guy like Mykael Williams is, you are a high draft pick, 11th overall, but you're also going to a football team that has, despite what last year was and despite what the frustrations of this offseason have been so far, the expectation is, try to win a championship. Like, start with winning a division and then winning a playoff game, but try to win a championship. And if you have a rookie who was picked this high that struggles to begin, there's going to be a lot of hand-wringing about that. I want your thoughts on that in just a second, but I do have to update you the latest pick. I was just watching Sterling, and I think he is upset based on this pick because the Arizona Cardinals, Niners in-division rival, just picked the guy that I think he's pretty high on. Walter Nolan, defensive tackle out of Ole Miss, is the pick to the Arizona Cardinals. Sterling, are the Niners going to be ruining the day they pass on Walter Nolan and instead allowed the Cardinals to draft him?
Well, it depends on how long Jake Brendel's playing center for you. So Walter Nolan's a really good player out of Ole Miss. He was the guy I think many people mocked to San Francisco throughout the process, but things have kind of shifted lately to the edge rushing group after John Lynch's pre-draft press conference. But he's a guy that, if you want to have a pro comp, is often compared to that of Jalen Carter in Philadelphia, so it's pretty comparable as to why he goes to the Cardinals now with Jonathan Gannon as their head coach. There are some off-the-field questions. He is a player that threw a tantrum during a practice and has walked off and didn't return, so I can see why San Francisco didn't want to bring him into the building. However, if you can get his head on straight, he is just a phenomenal player. You can argue There are some people, and I'm sure some teams that maybe even had him ahead of Mason Graham on their draft boards. He is the traitsiest defensive tackle in this year's draft, bar none. It's just about, can you get him focused on your defense? But I am not looking forward to watching San Francisco play him, knowing the left guard and center situation we have out there in the Bay Area.
Yeah, I was going to say, it doesn't sound like they've rued the day yet in not picking him, but they may have rued the day that they failed to select someone to block him. Because they don't really have anybody to do that right now. You know, I think also, too, it's like the Niners, to me, are trying to figure out what can make them successful in this new, and not even looking at the NFL, but just like their division. And I do think it's interesting that the Los Angeles Rams have built a very young, fast, physical defensive line. Clearly, that's the way with this pick that Arizona is moving towards. Seattle, even to some extent, has spent some high-round capital on defensive linemen. And that's what made the Niners really good between even Trent Baalke and, of course, John Lynch. They had a string of, what, 5 out of 6 years where they spent first-round picks on defensive linemen. They've gotten away from that as of late. Javon Kinlaw was the most recent one in the first round taken, which obviously did not pan out. But just because you missed on a pick doesn't mean you go away from what's made you successful. And so I think, along with what the Niners have been able to do in the past, you're also seeing a lot of teams in their division adopt that ideology as well.
I think the Rams are a great example for the Niners this year, because the Rams had gone through something similar to what the Niners are doing this offseason when the Rams, you know, they acquired Stafford, gave him the contract, and they gave him a new contract this offseason, but more of a short-term deal because he's getting up there, only has, you know, maybe a year or two left where you can consider him being an above-average quarterback. But they had to chip away, not necessarily like a lot of talent, but big names, pricey names, and they just bit the bullet in the moment, and they kind of reset their financials. I think their situation was a little more dire than the Niners, but the Niners going through something very similar. And then what did the Rams do in the draft last year? They go 2 defensive linemen, their first 2 picks, 19th overall, Jared Verse out of Florida State, and he was amazing last year. Their pick in the second round was Braden Fisk, also out of Florida State, an interior defensive lineman. And that, to your point, Evan, kind of turned their entire defense around. And if the Niners are able to do something similar, because, you know, they did get an edge rusher, a pass rusher to play on the edge of their defensive line opposite Nick Bosa, no doubt there is still a big gaping hole, maybe 2 gaping holes in the interior of their defensive line. They are going to address that at some point, if not maybe in their next pick. And hell, it might still happen in the first round today. I would be surprised, but we shall see. But I think the Rams are a really good, like, roadmap for what the Niners are trying to do. It is use a couple of valuable picks early in this draft, and if you hit on both of them, the defense is going to look 10 times better than it did last year.
And you look at Jared Verse as being, let's say, the Micah Williams for the Rams.
Yeah.
Jared Verse doesn't really have the pass rush plan. He's just I'm going to push you around and bully you for the next 52 snaps and see what you can do. So
I'm going to wear you down eventually, and then I'll get you a couple times.
Exactly. And we saw that pay dividends for Los Angeles this past year. And I think most Niner fans would say they got a heck of a defense out there that's really young that can help, I don't want to say carry them, but can keep them in games and be a difference for them in bigger games. The playoffs were a big example of that, too. But I think you're right, Mark. That is the blueprint. That is the archetype. You want to follow what the Rams did in 2023, whether it is round 2 or 3 when you get your defensive tackles in place. But it's about getting back to basics. How do you get to the quarterback as quickly as possible, and how do you wreak havoc? San Francisco used to be so deep, 5, 6, 8 guys deep, where it didn't matter what down it was, what quarter it was. They had somebody that was going to make a play on you, 2021 being the best example of that, where they had Bosa and Key and Nebukam and Menehue and Armstead, and it was like everyone is making plays for you. So San Francisco really has to get back to that, where you have 5 to 6 guys that are going to find a way to the quarterback, and you're hoping that they can use the Rams as their model. And again, Micah Williams does scream a Jared Verse type of player with the power he has.